And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAUT Full Studios of Freedom's with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, Derek Slopey. Okay, Derek, I think I might know Derek. You know, we're going to find out. Derek is a computer programmer from Maine, organizer of the Maine Hacker Club, a loosely associated group of hardware and software hackers in Bangor, Maine, having previously developed the Silver Calculator app for a Windows phone. So the boy's got skills, and he is very selective in getting some good stuff going. That was very nice of you. Thank you. He is continuing to try to make slavery obsolete through promotion and development of disruptive technologies. Yeah, you know, that is the point, man. I want to bring this up. You know, there is we need to be regulated, right? Get the right regulation in, don't regulate, and kind of authority in the government doesn't have whatever. No, I don't care. I mean, if you create a system, an app, a software, a hardware that you know, just hacks government from the beginning, it gets to where they can't, you know, I break with thee, and it doesn't matter what you do, you can't stop me. I just did it and bite me. You know, that is the kind of software that I want. You know, I mean, if I'm doing, I mean, that's the whole point of MeowBit. If I got to worry about, you know, well, you got to this because they're going to regulate me. Well, if they can regulate, you did it wrong. I mean, you know, I'm just like, that's why I am so supportive of what they're doing. He is now the primary developer of MeowBit. You know, ooh, I wonder if anybody says it like that. MeowBit. Okay, I'm the first. Maybe not. Software which allows easy use of decentralized .bit websites on Windows systems. Derek recently ran for town council on Orono, Maine, using material blatantly ripped off from Ernie Hancock's still voting campaign. Oh, are you the guy, the picture that Drew sent me? Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, and we've met before, haven't we?
Oh, yeah, we hung out under a rainbow at Pork Fest last year.
Oh, you're the guy that looks like my friend Wayne Letcher.
That's right. You kept calling me Wayne.
I was going, oh, my God. He's talking, because he's a good friend of mine, started back in the day helping me do my first political signs in 90. You know, he's sitting back going, oh, my God, is that Wayne? I'm like, hey, Wayne. He's like, who the hell are you talking about? You know, so anyway, that's how I remember. This is awesome. Okay. Now, what I got from Drew, he sent me a picture that had of, in 2006, I ran for Secretary of State, and there were two signs that I had, two graphics that we used on stickers and signs and all kinds of stuff. One was still voting with a question mark, and the V in voting was the V for Vendetta. So it was white on black and kind of, it was cool. The other one was the Lovolution logo. You know, that's where that Lovolution logo for Dr. Paul's campaign came from, was that campaign in 06. Now, that Drew sent me a graphic. You know, I should get Donna put it up. You know, sent me a graphic that showed you using the still, it's like, still voting? Well, vote for, you know, whatever you use that graph. I thought that was awesome. So tell me how's that going?
Well, the election was on the 11th, and I was fortunate not to be selected. So,
well, how'd you do?
That's over. I was asked by one of the existing city councilors to run because I was going up to the council meetings and spouting off a little bit. And I said I'd run. So I ran honestly. I mean, you made your you put your name in pretty small letters there. You didn't really want to win. I've made my name a little bigger on my copy of your sign because I did make an honest attempt at it. But there's just not a lot of interest in the ideas that I have, I guess, in this area. So
there's the picture. There's Derek on the left, then me, then Derek, then Drew. Okay. And you have a rainbow going in my head. Okay. So that's right. That's great. You know that we have an operator because you did the Silver Calculator for Windows 8. Now, didn't you work for Microsoft? I mean, isn't that what you do?
I write Microsoft software, but I don't work for Microsoft.
Okay. So this year, you got some, you know, we get to make goodies skills, and you hooked up with the boys, and all of a sudden now you're going, ooh, all the blanks get filled on the promotion side, people help with the idea side, the app side, of this side, and you got to have the geek side, and you're definitely representing some of that geek area, and all of a sudden stuff gets done. That's very cool. Well, I'm glad. Well, Michael W. Dean was like, oh, you can talk to Derek, man. Don't make me get up early again. I got to do a late show. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's got his overnight show now, and yeah, he's pretty wiped out, I think. He just started that. I think this is his second week of his Michael Dean After Dark.
Well, did you ever get forwarded to you the madesafe.net technical papers stuff?
Yeah, I read a little bit of it when it was forwarded to me a couple weeks ago, and I just kind of reviewed it because I knew that you're still pretty excited about it, and I'm getting more excited about it the more I read about it.
Let's talk about MeowBit and what it does, and then we'll talk about if it could interface with... See, you have to understand, Derek, you know, from being an activist and, you know, like you guys, I mean, all you guys are about the age when I really started getting into it in the mid-90s. You know, I kind of came, you know, there was something definitely wrong in 88, and by 90, 91, I could see, I go, yeah, we're up against a philosophy. We're up against, you know, the kingdom and their empires, and they rule us, and we're livestock. I mean, so we gotta approach this differently. That's why my activism was, you know, different than I was using the political process, more than I was trying to participate in it. So I'm going, okay, so now here comes you guys with the technical ability behind to do this stuff, and it's disruptive is a good word. So tell me about MeowBit and what excites you about it.
Well, Namecoin's pretty exciting in general. MeowBit is just a small part of what Namecoin can do.
Let's start from the beginning. Namecoin is what? It's another cryptocurrency, but I mean, you know, tell me why that over Bitcoin. What's the difference and how's it used?
Namecoin's a fork of Bitcoin, and it adds something. It adds the ability to associate names and values inside the blockchain. So in addition to being just like Bitcoin, where you can send them to people and be sure that there's no double spending and all of that, there's a way to register names within it. So if you said, so people have set up different namespaces, and one of the namespaces is a .bit registry, where you can register .bit domain names. Now, the beauty of putting domain registry in the blockchain is that you don't have to ask anybody's permission to do it. If the name's available, you just go register it. If you need to update your IP address, you just update your IP address, just like making a Bitcoin transaction. Nobody can stop you from doing it. So it decentralizes the domain registry, essentially. The domain registry was created because it was the only way to do it, to have a central authority to manage this stuff.
Let's talk about that so we can understand what you're talking about. We got time. I remember when the World Wide Web in the early 90s was just getting started to get going. Everybody's out getting U-Haul.com and Madonna.com and Dunkin' Donuts.com, and then Dunkin' Donuts is wanting their .com. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was, I could see for, I don't know, it was like 20, 30 bucks. You know, back then that was like real money. And, you know, sometimes it was cheaper. You go get all these. There was a guy, I think he had like $135,000 salary, and he was in charge of the domain registry software. And that was it. And then all of a sudden, he mysteriously dies of a heart attack, and they have a meeting in Geneva, and here comes United Nations, ICANN, kind of whatever. You know, I can take your stuff. And I'm going, what?
I didn't know the beginning of that story. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, if you look at it before, the domain registry was just a private contractor that did it, and it was like he, you know, it was nothing. And then all of a sudden, he just goes, they go, God, we can't have that, okay?
The government got it.
Yeah, well, it was international kind of thing. It was just, you know, and I could see where this was going.
So it's now, getting worse, too. It's going overseas now.
Yeah, MeowBit may be the answer. Now, that history will build from there, where they went, what the counter is, and what's the future. Oh, we're going to talk all about with somebody that knows. Hey, Derek.
Hey.
This is the one thing you'd be the guy to help me with. When they started the World Wide Web, when did you start getting really geeky?
I was pretty into it, 95, 97. I was at computer engineering school then.
Okay, so were you the 11-year-old taking apart Commodore 64s or what?
They didn't have Commodore 64s. No, I was taking apart TRS-80s when I was 11.
Okay,
I'm 40 now, so I've been programming since, you know, mid-80s.
Really? Because I had a TRS-80 Model 4 with VisiCalc on it and started doing, that was my whip ass, you know, and
I had a Model 1 and then a Model 3, and then from the Model 3 I went to the Commodore.
But, oh my goodness.
I kind of ignored the web. I got out of it for a little while. I was doing a little bit of traveling, and I came back, and, you know, the internet browsers were just starting to take off, and so I missed kind of that beginning part of the World Wide Web anyway.
Okay, now this is, maybe you can help me with this. I, you know, skip to the end when we get back. There was a divergence in the force, okay, or an opportunity. And what happened was they went to this World Wide Web server-based kind of concept, but I could see the internet was growing into this BBS style thing, and that's what I see MadeSafe is kind of. It's like an instant BBS.
You know? It looks incredible. I mean, it's what I think of it is the real cloud. You know, because there was the idea of the cloud when I was
Amazon servers. I mean, everybody is the cloud.
They've co-opted that. You know, the cloud isn't put your stuff on my server. It's put my stuff out there somewhere where you can't access it and I can. And that's what MadeSafe seems to be.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk, because I'm old enough and experienced enough to recognize the power. That's why I'm excited about it. I'm glad you're excited, too. All right, here we go. You know, this is something that I wanted to make sure that we understood, because I think Derek can help us understand. There's one graphic up here that it has, you know, I want to show this, that you're shown holding this small computer. I saw that at the Consumer Electronics Show. And what that is, an entire big, giant, oh my goodness, computer in your palm of your hand that has all the plug-ins and everything for, instead of having this big PC, you got this itty-bitty little living space computer. And instead of having a hard drive, it's got flash. And instead of having, you know, all these other cards, it's all built in, and it's just a box to plug a bunch of stuff in, like a Roku. Now, that right there is the internet distributed, can be kind of the people are the cloud. So let's go back to the beginning when they made the decision to do the World Wide Web, and then put all your stuff on our server kind of thing. And, we're going to go to the cloud, but then it's Amazon doing cloud for the CIA, and we're going to be bombing this Yemen kid over here, you know. So I'm just going, there was an opportunity to go a different way with like uploadable BBSs kind of thing. And they kind of took that instead of what you're talking about, where everybody's computer is the cloud. It's kind of like a peer-to-peer Napster LimeWire thing. So let's go ahead and go back to what the opportunities were, where it went, and where we might be going. Go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know a lot about the beginning, the history, but I can see what's happening going forward. And the ability to decentralize your data and just stick your data out there anywhere and have it be redundant and reliably accessible is incredible. You know, companies have been plugging these cloud services. Like Amazon and Microsoft have their cloud services, and it's really just stick your stuff on our servers and ask us for permission to use it. You know, and pay us. And where cloud services, you know, there's people out there developing these cloud services, which are, you know, just stick your information out there on multitudes of servers and have it encrypted and be able to access from anywhere. It's just incredible, you know. And, you know, technologies like Namecoin allow people to, you know, host their websites from anywhere. If it's something that the powers that be want to take down, they might seize the domain name or even seize the IP address, but using decentralized Namecoin, you can bring those servers back up at your home, at a buddy's house, as long as you've got an IP address.
Now, that IP address can be changed.
Yeah. Okay, you issue an update to the Namecoin blockchain for your domain, and you can change the IP address of your site. It can update in a handful of minutes.
Okay, so this is like, you know, now Michael W. Dean was very kind to get us freedomsphoenix.bit. And because he knew that if he didn't, somebody else would. So he gets that, and we go, okay, so that's cool. So we'll get it all transferred over and doing kind of, and I want, and I'm glad to know that you're working on this, Derek. It makes me feel a lot better, because I know you, trust you. You've been working on other stuff with it. You got hooked up with the boys. That's cool. Did that happen at Porkfest? How is it that you hooked up with Michael W. and some of the other stuff that's going on?
Me and Drew hooked up about a year ago to start working on the Silver Calculator app for Windows Phone, because there wasn't one. I emailed him and said, have you guys got a version of this for Windows Phone in the works? And he said, no, there hasn't been too much interest. And I said, well, I'm interested. I'm a Windows programmer. And started working on it. We rolled that out at Porkfest last year. I think I announced it on your show from Porkfest.
Yeah, what was the timeline it took you to do that?
It was a couple months. It took a little longer than I expected. I expected it to be ready well before Porkfest, but Microsoft has this application validation process that I had to go through, and it got rejected a couple times for a couple little bugs or usability issues. So, but, 2 or 3 months, really, it wasn't too bad. Now, Meowbit, I think the Meowbits, I started developing on Meowbit a little over a month ago, and we're already in the third or fourth release of that software.
Now, well, tell us about Meowbit, what it does. It's just like an add-on to whatever browser that you have. And it started off with a Firefox add-on, and you go, well, hell, that was, what did they call it? I can't remember.
Free Speech Me.
Yeah, Free Speech Me, okay?
Free Speech Me was for Firefox browsers, and it was for Windows and Linux, but it only worked within the browser. So say you have an IRC channel or you want to connect to some other internet service that isn't web, Free Speech Me doesn't allow for that. It just takes care of what you do in your browser in terms of internet. So if you wanted to do a file share or an FTP site, you can't really do that with Free Speech Me. Now, Meowbit enables the .bit name resolution across your whole system. So if you've got a .bit IRC server or any other type of messaging application that's non-web-based, you'll be able to connect to that using the .bit name.
Oh, I see. So a lot of the other services and options and instant messaging, blah, 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 you know, something like Skype or whatever that's coming up in your browser or something, and you go, oh, well, we can't really do that, so we're going to do Meowbit so we get access to all these other services.
Yeah, yeah. Now, it's not likely that Skype's going to support .bit stuff anytime soon.
I mean, some video thing, what I mean. But, you know, yeah. So this is a whole new way of doing computer, but how is it different? You know, go ahead and define. I mean, I understand using the Namecoin, using, you know, the blockchain features to where you can own a name, a .bit registry of, and that's the only way that it can be owned or accessed or transferred or controlled, or and the NSA cannot shut it down because why?
Because they don't have, only you have control over it through your Namecoin wallet. So there's no centralized registry. Like with ICANN, with .com, ICANN owns .com, essentially. So if you want to register a subdomain under .com, you got to go ask them for permission and pay somebody to do it. With Namecoin and .bits, you just register the name.
Okay, and it redirects to whatever, but it's still going to have a place, a server. Can they track that, or is that where you know MadeSafe starts coming in and it's just out there somewhere, try and go find it?
Yeah, so it resolves to an IP address. And of course, if you were somebody that the government really wanted to get rid of, they could seize your IP address, but they can't seize your name. So you can bring up that website somewhere else. You know, you're still going to own your name. FreedomPhoenix.bit is yours to set whatever IP address and you want for it.
Okay, now that IP address is a server farm or computer, or if we go to the madesafe.net thing, then it becomes a cloud distributed planetary thing.
Yeah, it could be. And I'm still learning about MadeSafe, trying to see how that works. It's pretty exciting.
Well, tell me, see, this is the one thing that I wanted to, I was waiting until today. Do I go ahead and get my ticket today to go to the New York Bitcoin conference where I can meet these guys and I talk to them? I'm excited because if I get on the, you know, the base of this, if you give it the thumbs up, I'm going. And only, yeah, and the damn, well,
you
freaking.
You had a long talk with them the other day. I mean, I bet there's a lot of technologies there. I mean, I don't think MadeSafe is the only technology that's doing this. There's another one that I was turned on to today called SyncNet. Let's talk about this flipping.
Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk SyncNet. Let me make a, I can see the future. Doesn't include government.
Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address in our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's MEOWBIT.com.
Okay, now SyncNet is what?
Michael just sent that to me this morning. I got to say, I really wish Michael was here because he is so much better at giving the .bit spiel than I am. He's been doing it. I'm kind of like the tech guy. I can answer the technical questions.
Well, he's done that before, so it's cool we get technical. Plus, I didn't know that it was you. You know,
yeah,
I'm going, oh, very cool. All right. So I feel better. Now, the thing is that, see, I needed, and that's why I really, I I really pressed on Michael. I was really rude to the point of just, you know, I'm like, look, Michael, I need to understand if I'm, you know, going to sit on a freaking airplane for 15 gazillion hours to get there and back, and should I go? Take a look at this, you know, let me do a brother a solid here, you know?
Yeah, so, I read about it quite a bit because he CC'd me on that exchange, and I'm just not sure where they're at. There's a lot of code up there. It seems like they're serious, but I just haven't had. I don't know if I can give you a recommendation on that or not.
See, my thing was, it was when Bitcoin came out, I'm going, I understand. That's cool, because I was in early days, PGP, encryption and public and private keys, and how the man they did not like that one bit. And then to do, you know, the blockchain where you can add that, you know, assign value to it, or just it's encrypted, it just gets its own value just by, you know, somebody can't change it or inflate it or mess with it. I mean, I understood the features of it, and I'm going, ow, coming out of the gate, this is like, ow, but it didn't have the features of a decentralized internet. It didn't have the individual computer adding to the computing power and the cloud up, because that was talked about in the early 90s as kind of this BBS thing that you're just connecting all the bulletin boards that run each individual computer. And when you had the bandwidth, instead of just phone lines that you had to call in to upload and retrieve, and then you hang up, you know. You know,
three slots available, right? Three people could be on at the same time.
Right. You know, it's like, you know, we had like on-ramp and indirect, and it was always I mean, after a while, you know, it was cool. Man, you can get all this. Is great. Awesome. 3 months later, it was so busy you could never get a connection. And it was just because it, you know, just access. So then when that was the reason they went to this other. But if it was internet, you know, connected, and you had the computers able to, you know, serve up files or portions of files, and like what, you know, MadeSafe is talking about, MAID, I'm going, I immediately saw that that was the next evolution in the internet itself, on top of the cryptography and the Bitcoin and the Namecoin and the Meowbit. That's why I called Michael's, because I go, well, I can already see where this goes, where the interface is here. I have a different browser that can do whatever I want, and I can assign my .bit and off the man, and they can't shut it down. And even if they did, I just moved over here. I own the name Bite Me, along with the decentralized internet itself. DARPA's done.
Well, then they go to the other element of that is getting mesh networks up so that people aren't relied on these major backbone providers. You know, that's something that other various.
All right, here we go. You're not in control. And if you're not in control, you're out of control. You know, I know how these guys think, man. They're just like, you know, I control you. You know, well, what happens when you got guys, you know, like Derek Sloppy, is it Sloppy, Sloppy? Am I saying
Sloppy.
It right?
Sloppy, yeah.
Sloppy. Yeah, you're not.
Your Sloppy. Bumper music never gets old.
You know what? That's why we don't do YouTube. I'm not allowed to do classic rock and roll.
So, oh, really? Yeah.
So screw you. We're on Vimeo until they say I can't, and then screw them. You know what we did is we created video servers on Freedom's Phoenix years ago. You know, I have the ability to be YouTube. You know, it's just that, you know, that's not my thing. You know, but when they go, and it can see, but what am I waiting on? We have been creating Freedom's Phoenix to be, it's all original code on PHP and the spaghetti code of Tiger, whatever, and we're doing a bunch of upgrades within. Probably within by the weekend, or certainly into this weekend, we plan on a total new format, you know, distribution on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, the funding center beta tested, the marketplace, we're getting that done. It'll look totally different, do the same kind of stuff. It'll just be a little different and cleaner because it's starting to get kind of busy up top.
Are there any teasers out there yet for that? You haven't shown it publicly?
You know, if you were to go, it kind of does it automatically. If you go to Freedom's Phoenix and you go into the funding center, then go back on the left side, you'll say, it says front page. Now, at the bottom on the left side of all that text, it says current front page to take you back to, you know, the old. But if you go into the funding center and then go over to front page, you'll see the new formatting, what it's probably going to look like. Now, of course, that keeps changing every 12 hours because, you know, it was like that yesterday when I looked. But we're in the middle of the process doing search engine optimization stuff and everything because the site was jacked up. So I hired a search engine optimization guy that I know that is really working hard with Tiger, and all of a sudden we're going to shoot to the moon. You know, but I was focused more on the features. And this is one of the features. I need to be able to mirror Freedom's Phoenix and such, because we have, you know, backups and other mirrors, you know, different sites that we could turn on. It's, you know, keeping it updated. We can flip it over here, but you got to go through the blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm going, if I could have to where Freedom's Phoenix is on the cloud of the world and everybody pieces all over and encrypted in everybody's computer, and you have the ability through your browser to be able to just go to it and back and forth, and they can never shut it down. Gee, I wonder if that's what I want to work for. Because I know, what are they going to do? When you need it the most, like in Turkey, they get, oh, they're in the streets, it's Twitter shut down. When you need it the most, as they're getting ahead and lit, the entire country of Libya was shut off. Oh, when I need it in Tirana, and we turned off the Facebook. You know, the people think, oh, I'll just. No, you won't. You know, I got 60,000 friends on Facebook. I go, yeah, what's their email? Well, I just emailed them through Facebook. You don't have the friends. Zuckerberg does, okay? So this is what I know is the problem. So we even hired someone to just use social networking to get people to sign up for the free newsletter, so we have emails to contact people. This is, they'll go, I got so many. I go, yeah? Well, I started off with, like, I don't know, 100,000 emails. And we double opted and went down to 80. Then we went and made them kind of, you know, and we got down to 40. You know, and I have like 40,000 emails now of people that I know that know that know. Now, 23,000 are ones that I know that have responded back and kind of in communication, get subscribed to and the newsletter, kind of whatever. So 20-something thousand of I know, and a lot of them are the phone numbers and addresses, whatever. You know, who wants my database of the Lovelution of the top boys of? See my point? Now, I need to take that and put it secure somewhere, encrypted, you know, accessible only to, and can never be shut down by. You see my motivation, Derek?
Yeah. And I mean, as far as shutting down Twitter in Turkey there, I mean, if Twitter had twitter.bit, they could have kept that up for the people that had software on their computers that was available to c.bit. And that's what MeowBit is. MeowBit is Windows software. It's really easy to install, and it just lets you use the .bit namespace. So it's there's two challenges. One is getting people to use .bit, getting you to get up freedomphoenix.bit, and the other is to get people the client software so that they can eventually, so that they'll be able to access that site if freedomphoenix.com gets taken down.
I am, so tell me about .bit. I put MeowBit in, is it its own, well, it's just like an add-on to a browser. I mean, I just put it on to whatever my browser, right?
Well, it's not on the browser. It's in the system itself. It's a system service.
Okay, so it's its own browser.
Applications to, yeah, so it's at meowbit.com. Michael W. Dean made a nice video about it, and there's all kinds of tutorials on how to get MeowBit set up.
Okay, so it's not an add-on. It's its own browser?
No, it's its own. It's a system service. It integrates within Windows to enable everything to use .bit. Just like you remember the old Winsock? Right, you couldn't use the internet unless you had Winsock. Well, you can't use .bit unless you've got something like MeowBit that interface that allows the system to use the .bit namespace.
Okay, now let me do a parallel so people understand what this is like. In the mid '90s, there were two things that changed the internet. Well, three things that really changed the internet. One, there was already the internet. You could go to alt news, alt this, alt that. It was like on, you were actually on the servers at the universities that once you could get on, you could use their, you know, I belong to this new service that somebody created and they're all my buddies and whatever. Then you had the bulletin board service that was actually, you know, you dialed in, you know, modem into somebody's computer and you downloaded and uploaded. Then there became, you know, the World Wide Web where you had somebody else's, you know, servers and so on. Now, you know, of all of that, all of a sudden, then here comes Napster. Now, Napster eventually became Mozilla, which is Firefox. Napster was in, got competition from Internet Explorer. Here comes inside the operating system. And there's some Senator Hatch from Utah trying to protect Napster, and it's a trust, anti, you're not allowed to do kind of Microsoft, you know, crap. You know, and I'm just going, you know, seriously, government, they just made themselves obsolete the second they started to try and control. What they even wanted to have standardized hardware. You have to have, like in Europe right now, they're going, you have to have the same power cord to charge all your electronic devices. You know, Apple's going to have to be the same as, you know, Windows phone or something. I mean, this is how, you know, nitty gritty. Now, I would, you know, hope that everything starts to be more universalized, which it is becoming, more of the Android kind of plug-in thing. But, I mean, that's a free market thing. Leave it alone. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks for the guy that comes up with a better idea that can't get it out there because everybody's tied to this particular... Nobody can try anything, right?
Yep. So then here came Napster. Here's a web browser. I mean, you could go do web pages. So then we started creating them. You know, my friend Mike Duggar, he's a postal carrier, and he was state chair of Libertarian Party at one time, and he was building his own websites and doing activist stuff back in 94. And he was getting, you know, top five, you know, the featured, you're the award-winning, great and wonderful. And we got featured in some activist books and, you know, 101 Things to Do Till the Revolution by Claire Wolfe. You know, we're at that strange time in America. It was too late to work within the system, but too early to start shooting the bastards. I mean, that kind of thing. So as we're doing that and safe and so on, we're going, ooh, we see the power. But then what happened? Then you needed the search. How do you find it? Well, we were out there, like the QR code is used now, or you're just putting out .com site, go to this, go to this, go to this. And then Yahoo came, where you started to have and search it. You go, hey, you could just put in Second Amendment, or you could put in First Amendment, or you could put in Libertarian, and all of a sudden you start seeing all these other sites. We go, oh, we could see where this was going. So now all of those services and everything has come in to where it should have been from the beginning, is secure transmission of data that is encrypted, that's out there. I remember the PGP, you know, arguments with Zimmerman. I remember, you know, all this stuff, the features, it got collectivized more and more and more, and then the government proved what they want to do. Flip the switch. Oh, and then what happens? We get guys like Derek, and he does what? Derek Slopey comes in and says, you know what? You're button pushing, switch flipping, doesn't matter anymore. Were you able to get to the new format?
Which new format?
Of the front page of Freedom's Phoenix?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I couldn't find the link to the funding center.
Okay, go to the front page.
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, it's a banner ad across the top, like, I don't know, 2 inches down. It says Funding Center and Marketplace right above the headlines.
Yeah, that's. I'm so glad you guys are working. Oh, there it is. Yeah, I'm so glad you guys are working the site because it's so. There's so much information, which is great, but it's so hard to find anything.
Well, we've been working on it for a long. I mean, you have to get the features first, and then you get into where you can format it better. You know,
yeah.
But I have to get it because every time if I keep trying to redo it and I change what I'm doing, then I got to change it all the time. But, you know, plus I'm dealing with, you know, a webmaster that's, you know, 60-something years old, too. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, he's old school, which it has a lot of advantages, too. But so you go in the funding center,
yeah,
and then you go.
Now. I see the new front page now. Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, you go to the left, and you do, and kind of you'll see, and we're reformatting.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got somebody calling in. Yeah, so you can see we're making some progress there, but we had, you know, I had to get the funding center integrated. I had to get the, you know, all the other stuff done.
Yeah, you redoing the ad system too?
This. What do you mean, the banner ad stuff?
Banner ad system. Yeah, me and Drew talked about that a little bit. We were talking about doing the geographical banner ad system.
Yeah, I mean, we could do anything. The answer is always yes. It's just how much. Oh, you should. And I go, yeah, well, just say $3,000. I'll get right on it.
Yeah. Yeah, right. This looks nice. There's a lot more white space.
Okay, now, Derek, you know, the you took a look. You got a quick look at the website, you know, and the new formatting. You know, is that better? Is that kind of what you're hoping for?
Yeah, it looks really good. It's a lot more. It's not so crunched up. But the old one, I love it because there's so much information. But it's just blaring. You know, it's kind of overload. And this one has a lot more space in it.
Well, we did. We got the same. I tell you what the reason was is, you know, it's whatever I want to do because I can, and I got 15 gazillion reasons. But you know, the main thing is that I did want to have all the features available. We just had to format it in a different way. But we also had contracts. One of the things while we were working on it, we have banner ad contracts. You know, you have this size on this page for this long. I have to wait for those contracts to go out before I go change the format. Okay. Yeah. So then we, that was one, a little bit of delay. And then we do, you know, but, you know, it is going to be a lot different. But there's a lot of features I had. I really been busting my butt for a year, you know, on directing the changes to do the marketplace and the funding center, you know, and now we got James Babb billboard project up $2,500. We're putting up banner ads. Did the contracts for LA and Phoenix. Here we go. You know, we haven't been promoting that enough, you know, because we've been so busy having to do this prepper thing this weekend. Just, I got like this week to do a bunch of the stuff. We're working every day. I got two guys are going back and forth. SEO, search engine optimization of this chain. Make a change, check it, make a change, check it, make a change, check it. And we're going to go ahead and go to the new format within a couple of days. And when we do that, you know, there'll be bugs and stuff and people whine, bitch, moan. But, you know, I'm trying to set it and I want to get this hurry up and done so that we can get the .bit site up and the meow bit and the made safe thing. So you're thinking, it probably wouldn't be a waste of my time to go hook up with these guys and go to the New York Bitcoin Conference.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Now, that's in July?
End no,
July.
It's in beginning of April.
Oh, is it? Oh, wow. Yeah. Just kind of Googled trying to figure out what the dates were. I mean, I think it's always neat to hook up with people, but I'm not sure where they're at in terms of... You were talking about... there seems to be a coin associated with this where there's a proof of resource that's earned kind of...
See, the thing is, it's kind of a mining thing. There's an incentive for, you know, running the, I mean, what's the incentive for doing other than it's cool? I mean, that was one of the benefits of the Bitcoin thing is that by participating in it, you get rewarded. Well, they get the same kind of thing. Well, what's that worth? I don't know. You know, but I can understand because this is what I had hoped Bitcoin would have been in the beginning. And it was a great start because they isolated their, the Bitcoin to just be units that were traded that had value, you know, based on whatever the market said. And I'm going, okay, then you get the name coin to where, okay, now you can, you know, use this encryption technology to be able to have a name that's yours that nobody can change and you can assign the DNS, whatever. And then I go, okay, so that's cool, but where is my distributed internet to do all this on? I need an internet the way that I thought it should have gotten. Hell, I thought it was that, you know, until later because I'm not a geek. And I'm going, wait. They could just turn it off. Wait. They can take it down. Wait. They can survive. Wait. They can re-wait. I go, what the hell good is it as a freedom tool? So I'm going, no. So when I went to the Texas Bitcoin Conference, I go to the hacker guys and I said, look, you want something that's of value? I need to be able to donate Bitcoins anonymously. I need to be able, I'm got the NSA on my shoulder looking at my phone, and I can still, you know, give to Liberty Projects. I'm not wanting to buy drugs. I don't care about hookers. It's not about, you know, being able to do bioterrorism. It's about just supporting Liberty Projects, and I don't get repercussions from the man that doesn't like it. That's what I need. So those guys got $250,000 prize at the hackathon. You know, they came up with the, I guess, the pinky swear showed promise that they could do it. So I'm going, okay, who's your new best friend? So I'm going, all right, so now you got that. Now where can I do it? I need a secure internet. They don't even know that I'm being secret. You know, where's that? Made safe. How do I get to where the assignment and the addresses and so on? How's that done to interface with that? They can't shut that down. Meow bit.
Yeah, there's another part of it, too, and of course, is that you still need an internet connection, right? So there's something that's...
Outer net, satellite, bite me.
Yeah. And mesh networks, and there's a lot of technology... Now, there's a lot of innovations being made right now in mesh networks that allow people to be able to hook up their different parts of the internet system so that they can communicate, they can go around blocks potentially. Well, there's just so much going on, you know. Who knows? I mean, I don't even think we can envision what
it's taking the right direction, though, Derek. See, the problem before was just offering features as if privacy was never a feature to worry about. Now that privacy is a big, giant feature, all of a sudden, that becomes featured. See my point?
Yeah.
So I'm going
to Torrent Sync, although that's a proprietary protocol or proprietary software, is amazing to me that you can kind of store your information in a BitTorrent, you know, and that can be private. Have you looked at that at all, BitTorrent Sync?
Yeah, no, we've had a bit. I had it put up just to say I did. I mean, I don't understand it anymore than I do any of this other stuff, but we had a 30-round 3D printed magazine with our SAFE logo imprinted on it. Okay, so I got a 30 round AR-15 magazine when they're going to ban and all that. And Cody Wilson did the 3D printing of 30 round magazines, and I had him add the SAFE logo on it, and we took that file and we did the BitTorrent on to get it out there. Okay,
yeah.
I go, now it's out there. Bite me. Na 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 na.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's BitTorrent. BitTorrent Sync is more of a private BitTorrent where you can. It's kind of like Dropbox. It's like a decentralized Dropbox where you can control access to it. It's a smaller proprietary version of what MadeSafe is trying to do anyway. But yeah, I think MadeSafe's very exciting. I mean, where I'm at is not so much getting excited about going to talk to these guys, but just, you know, checking it out and seeing if there's something I can install. All the software that they've written is out there. It's all open source, and it looks like they have products that are working, and I'm going to be researching that over the next few days.
Well, stay in touch with me, because on your recommendation that it's not, you know, like a bad idea, I'll go ahead and go. Because see, okay. It's not so much that I think I'm going to, you know, get anything other than I can help them promote and give street cred, whatever I can do, to a idea and a method that I have been waiting for 20 years.
Yeah. If it works, it's huge.
It's enormous. And I appreciate the fact that you appreciate why I'm excited about it, because a lot of guys, they don't get it. They don't understand how earth-shattering this is. Explain to people why this is so earth-shattering if they're able to do what they say they're doing.
Well, it's because you can take your right now I have a bunch of websites, and I back them up to a company that has servers that, you know, puts them deep in the ground and keeps the data for me. But it's a centralized system, so I've got all this data, and I have to get it out of here in case my house burns down. With MadeSafe, it's distributed data. So if my house burns down, it's out there, and I'm not even having to be relying on somebody else's house not burning down. I mean, it's just out there everywhere. It's the true cloud. It's not the cloud like Amazon, where you're just putting your stuff on somebody else's server. It's really out there, persistent on the internet. Nobody knows where it is, but you can get to it anytime you want.
Now the one thing about Amazon doing the cloud for the CIA, by the way, you know, when they're doing this, what they're really saying is that we're doing the cloud to where we're just making full use of all of our hard drive space all the time. It's just really a service for us. Then we can, you know, give this computing power at a reduced rate because we're making memory cheap. That's all they're talking about. They're not talking about the real cloud rain droplets around the planet, and it's assembled, encrypted in any way I want to do it. It's not even in the same category.
Yeah. With MadeSafe, I mean, you could set up a server at your house and say, okay, you know, network, here's some space for you to use, and data just starts trickling in, you know, from other people that are using the same network. You don't know what's on your server, and they don't know where their data is, but they know it's out there, and it keeps redundant copies of it, so that if your server blows up, there's another copy of it on somebody else's machine that they've dedicated to be part of this network. And then you receive credits. It seems to me, I'm just beginning to read about this, but you receive credits based on how much resources you are dedicating to the network.
Which means the entire process and the speed of it and its capacity exponentially goes up the more people that use it, so it doesn't choke.
Brilliant.
I mean, am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so this is, now you can see as a fundamental principled way why I recognized immediately what this was, even though I'm not a geek. And that's why I needed Michael and you to take a look at it to see if it was what I thought it was. And I'm kind of getting, yeah, it looks like it might be. So I got the technical white papers from these guys. They're very open about this, and they're out of Scotland, so I'm probably not going to get a chance to ever meet them again unless I go to the New York Bitcoin Conference and go ahead and start talking. Just say, hey, yo, what's up? I know some boys, and one of them's name is Derek Flopey, and they need to be hooked up. The future is ours. Okay, there we go. That's a good show to put in to get this, but I'm gonna go ahead right now. Donna, go ahead and book my New York thing. I think what's going to happen is...
Don't slow down ever, do you, Ernie?
No, God.
Your energy is just so hard to keep up with.
There's always something. You know, what I'm going to do is, I talked to James Babb already out of Philadelphia. I may fly to Philadelphia, and he and I drive up there. And this is definitely a James Babb Ernie thing.
It's the end of April. I wouldn't mind
No, it's beginning of April. Hold on a second.
I wouldn't mind going down. Maybe I'll...
Well, call James and find out, you know, what he wants to do, because I want to go now, because Derek said, okay?
Yeah, I think Made Safe's incredible. I don't know where they're at. It seems... I don't understand what their funding model is or anything like that.
Well, he's been working on this for, I don't know, 5-6 years. I mean, this is kind of how they... You know, see, it's called, you know, I call it quantum reality. I think of it, it happens. You know, they call it law of attraction, whatever. I'm going, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you why I know that I'm going to be able to encryptedly be able to have access to all my information. They can't shut it down. It's mirrored. They can't do it. I'm going, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know why? Because I want it. It's that simple. Well, how do you know it's good? Because I want it. You know, you think I'm Joe Sixpack, man. If I want it, everybody else wants it too. Okay? So when privacy became an issue, there's going to be systems like this that are going to flood. And I can tell you what's going to happen. Government's going to become anachronistic. It's just going to go away. It's just not going to matter anymore.
All of this is just making it obsolete. I wish I could have gotten into Namecoin more. I just couldn't get my thoughts straight. I mean, Michael is really good, and I really missed having him on. But, you know, the beauty of Namecoin is the ability to register any kind of record. You know, I mean, this could replace the registry of deeds.
Oh, no. I understand. Let me tell you, I've been talking about, I don't know if you've been listening to the show on this. Let me tell you what we did. About a year and a half ago, we bought some land at auction in northern Arizona for, I don't know, $1,500 scrub, whatever, by Sholo, Arizona. It's a nice place up there. But, you know, we got an acre and a half just at, you know, auction. What? You know, how much? Yeah, 50. Fine. Done. We went. Okay. Now, take that and deed it over. You know, the sales go to this trust. All right. And we had them, had to do paperwork, redo it 3 times. They got it right. And I go, okay. They went to this trust. Now this trust sells it to this trust, and then I put it in my safe, and I didn't record it with the county recorder because I pay the taxes on it, and I don't want to get into that game. I just, you know, whatever. So pay the tax. They don't know nothing. It's not, doesn't show any transfer, nothing. Still shows that it's, you know, whatever. But they have that it was sold, you know, to this trust, and it went to my trust. That's where the chain was broke. That they don't have any recorded record in the county recorder. Where would I record it? Well, one, I don't have to. If anybody, you know, comes in and says, oh, it's ours, I go, really? Well, I got the deed right here. The actual deed to the deed.
You don't need to show it's yours until it's time to show it's yours.
Right.
And this is the other thing. Another thing about Namecoin is, like, if you want to prove that you did anything, like, say you wrote a book. Well, right now, the problem with copyright laws is that you, if you want to copyright something or patent something, you've got to show it to everybody, right? Imagine that you're writing a book. And that you just take a hash of the book. You know, you've got the file. You just take an MD5 or SHA hash of it. And then you just publish that in the Namecoin blockchain. If later on somebody comes along and says, hey, look at this great book I wrote, and it's your book, you can say, no, that's not your book. Here's my book. I recorded the hash of this thing last year. You know, you can prove that it's yours without ever having to show it.
Geekdom hash. What does that mean?
Hash is take a, you remember, CRC, right? From, you know, CRC error on your CD-ROM in 1995, you know, that it's numbers that are used to verify other numbers. So you have this big long thing and you can make a unique signature from it, which is a smaller number. And only that original thing can be used to produce that signature. It's kind of the basis of the cryptography that Bitcoin uses.
Yeah, so it was like reverse encryption. It's like not only can I open something sent to me with my private key, if I send it out with my private key, only the public key can open it so they know where it came from.
Well, the public, yeah, it's kind of like signing it. When you sign...
Yeah,
when you
so
sign
they know it, where it came from. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. With PGP, you can sign an email to prove that you wrote it.
Well, that happened.
You're signing with a hash that only you can create.
In the mid-90s, there was a guy named Neil Knox, I think it was. He was the son of another guy named Knox that was big in the NRA and board of director and Second Amendment, hardcore, blah, 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 blah. So as they're going back and forth and Republicans are using the Second Amendment to get elected Republicans that voted for the crime bill kind of BS. Well, what happened was they would take at critical moments and have an email circulate to say it was from this guy when it wasn't. So what he did is he goes, no. So then he started doing, here's the public key, everybody, and he would encrypt all the stuff he put up, and you wanted to check it was from him or a validation that that was him that wrote this open thing. You could take the public key and decrypt his private key to make sure that he was the author.
Yeah. And they do the same thing with software, that if you go download software, sometimes they'll give you an MD5 hash for the software, and then you can independently verify that the piece of software that's on your machine matches that hash. And that's something else we're doing with the Namecoin blockchain, too. Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things going on, Ernie. It's incredible.
I understood the need for going this way. And that's why for 7-8 years, we have been preparing Freedom's Phoenix for this change. That's why I wouldn't do widgets. That's why I wouldn't do WordPress. That's why I didn't go to Drupal. That's why I didn't. Everybody's telling me what I need to do in cloud and I could scale up and my resource, blah, 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 blah. I'm going, no, it doesn't support when the outer net hits and space-based satellites that they launched in mid-freaking February and Iridium that they turned on for smartphone, satellite-based hotspot kind of bite me. You know, I knew this was, hell, I knew Iridium was up in the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going, of course it's going to be outside of this. And then what do? They start deregulating UHF, where you can go 40 miles, 60 miles or whatever, you know, and mesh entire cities that connect in another town with a microwave kind of DARPA can suck it. You know, everybody kept going, well, the internet and DARPA, oh, they invented Al Gore, you know, thank him kind of. I'm like, seriously? You know, I'm going, they have no idea what's coming. So the
goal is, I mean, Freedom's Phoenix stands on its own. It doesn't rely on any third-party providers or anything like that. You've got the video, you've got all the, everything is self-contained, right?
Yep.
So the goal going forward is, how do we distribute this thing so that if a nuke takes out Arizona, it still exists?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Because I can.
If
I have a goal, I can work towards the goal. So let me find out how that might work with Made Safe.
Help me, brother. You know, this is it. From an activist, I started radio in 2003. What was one of the first things that happened? They shut Libya off, the entire country, from the internet. Just flipped the switch. Then time goes by, and all of a sudden, our anchor took a razor blade and, you know, cut these three transcontinental, in the Mediterranean, power India kind of, you know, Middle East fiber optic cables kind of, oops, you know? Yeah. And that wasn't, you know, big enough news here in the U.S., but around there, they're like, all of a sudden the banking went back to dial-up. I mean, you know, they're going, what the hell was that? So you think there's not a need for them to go to this kind of network? So that's
a pretty big deal in my area. I mean, I'm up in northern Maine. We've only got two fiber optic lines in and out of the state of Maine. And not until a couple of years ago, there was only one, I think, you know, big pipe. There's some other small ones.
Well, you can see the satellite. You know, when we did Spaceship One Government Zero thing, that's what we were thinking. That's why I keep screaming. I go, you don't understand. It means we can put up our own satellites. Mid-February, what do they do? They launch 33 cube satellites and say, now we got outer net. Sucks to be you. I'm going, you know, what's the man going to do? They're going to bring out their ion cannons.
Yeah. Humanity has definitely gotten to the point where they're used to being able to send a message to anyone in the world for free. And there's going to be if they ever tried to take that away, there's going to be so much market pressure to provide that. So, you know,
it's going to be the way, you know, like MadeSafe is. It's going to be, okay, it costs to do this. So we got to reward the people that are doing it. Oh, here's your crypto, whatever the hell, unit of something, you know?
I mean, I'm so excited about it, I just do it for free anyway.
But you can understand. Did you hear the show that I did with them?
I heard most of it. I didn't. I've been so busy with MeowBit. I listened to the first half of it, and I listened to the rest. It's still open here in my browser. I just haven't gotten back to it.
Who does? Oh, he's on Friday. Okay. So Friday I have David Irvine from Made Safe on the show Friday.
Oh, again?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah,
talk about, you know, you guys talk about it. Would you come on with him?
I don't know if I'm really qualified.
Yes! What do you mean you're not qualified? You code hacker button pusher?
Yeah, I'm a lot better with somebody else anyway, because I like answering the questions, but in terms of doing a monologue, man, I just
No. I need you to be able to ask him the questions.
I love asking questions.
Well, then freaking you're on. Go ahead and do it. Have him schedule it and make it go work.
That's this Friday. The other problem is I had to take the morning off of work to do this today. So I'm not sure if I can do that on Friday or not. But I'll hook up with Donna.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and see what we can work out. Even if it's just a half hour, you can take a break or something. Because this is... See, a lot of people, they didn't understand. I was just being rude to Michael, focus, man. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm excited. I need you to look at that. Well, see, I think that's where the disconnect was. He's not as geeky as you are.
Michael's great for the marketing has been incredible.
Yeah.
His ability to, explain how it works, in layman's terms.
Well, see, the point that I was trying to make to Michael is that the marketing of Meowbit, along with the maid, see, that's why I wanted to hook you guys up together. I could see the marriage.
Yeah.
I could understand why this is so important, because the distributed internet, there's two things that happens. One, like you said, you still got to have a cable to have ones and zeros go over, okay? And two, you need to be able to interface what you're doing with them, because they didn't address the idea of you can't shut it off address for your website. So I'm going, you have to have that, or being all encrypted and everything doesn't really matter if they just know, well, they're getting it from here, go shut down that server, Yeah. So I go,
And that's kind of the role of the Tor hidden services, too. The ability to take a service and put it up in the Tor network with the onion addresses, and then you can store all the backend data on MadeSafe. So you use Tor to hide the server. You store all the data on MadeSafe, and then you can use .bit to connect to the, because, have you ever seen an onion address? Like where Silk Road used to be and the other Tor hidden services?
No.
It's like, it's onion colon, and it's just a bunch of numbers and letters. So .bit can turn that into a friendly name. So you could have, some friendly name .bit that corresponds to a Tor hidden service, hidden web server, which then uses, MadeSafe as the back end storage of its data.
Yeah, but see, there's one chink in this whole armor. One chink. All that information is out there and done it, but it's always that one person, that one individual, that one, supplier of content, that one guy that they can go shut his line off to the network. That is where the chink was, and that's where satellite and mesh comes in. So I'm going, like, when they did the outer net, I talked to him. I don't know if you probably, it was towards the end of the show when I'm talking to, Dwayne, I think. And I go, so tell me, how are you, ever heard of satellite-based outer net? Yep. They're meeting with them in New York. I'm going, so they're already looking at this outer net satellite-based bite me. So think about it, Derek. I mean, I got satellite-based from my house straight up and down. I got the MadeSafe, it's distributed all over. I got Meowbit to be able to give me, isolated, they can't shut down, don't know where it is, kind of name, kind of whatever. I got the encryption of blah, 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 blah. I mean, I'm seeing this start to come together where they start to create a just button, and I just push this, and I just download, and I'm done. And the man can suck it.
Yeah, yeah. And you can cut all the wires around your house, too, eventually, right? Hopefully.
I'm working on it. That's what all this prepper stuff was about this weekend that we did. I'm telling you, man, the trend for food production. I tell you the big thing that I saw. There is everybody and their grandma and all kinds of different ways of how they're making ethanol. Distilling alcohol for fuel and for medicine and for all kinds of, tinctures and blah, 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 blah. But drinking, of course. But the big thing was fuel. And they're going, look, man, just all the clippings in your yard, kind of, you can make this much, and then you can go and grow. And I live on a 2-acre, whatever the hell here. I can be ethanoled up. Hell, that.
Yeah,
you've got it
made down there. The dome is awesome, but the pool freezes in Maine, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we have a bit of a problem there. But yeah, I mean, I see solutions. It's going to happen. We'll get back together. I'll let you know how MadeSafe works out for me. They've got some software up there. I'm just going to download and install it and see how it works. That's how I learned.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and have Donna hook it up and me go. I was waiting until I talked to you or Michael, that WD, to make sure that I wasn't wasting the money. Yeah. But most is just, I freaking hate being away from my family. I hate sitting on an airplane all the way across 7 hours of Southwest in a cramped. I hate it. 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 I hate travel. I hate it.
You come to Porkfest.
You know, I hate it.
Are you coming to Porkfest this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think Donna and I are going to come and, you know, just try and chill this time. We may do the radio show, but we may not, you know, edit and all that kind of stuff, and we'll do that later or something with the show. We're going to try and just, she and I, take a vacation and enjoy it, because I really liked Porkfest. This last Porkfest was probably the best one so far, in that I liked the atmosphere, you know, the people.
There was a lot less tension, it seemed.
Yeah, because they weren't being political.
Yeah.
You know, anybody start going up and start talking politics, they get booed.
Yeah.
You know, you had Gary Johnson would come with this crowd, and they did their own little thing. Everybody else is like, yeah, bring your boys, and we're over here. You know, there was like, I had, I tell you this story. I don't know if I told you this when I was there. I was wearing my orange kind of rain slicker thing. You know, it kind of, I don't know what they call it, but I guess it kind of, I look kind of law enforcement-y, you know, because I'm a middle-aged, you know, chubby white boy. You know, he must have a gun on. And I'm standing there, and I had the shiny badges that they had, you know, like a police badge.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the shiny badges don't grant special rights or something.
Yeah, obvious badges.
So I had those badge on, and this older woman, that she was there for Gary Johnson, she was like running up to me to report somebody, hey, they're smoking marijuana over there kind of thing, you know, and I'm going...
In the campground?
Yeah, no, right there by where George's baklava state, you know, the food station was. I was in the back, I went around there, Gary Johnson's up there, and she was just like, well, what do you think about... Whoa. Hey, man, I'm not a cop. I don't care. You know what? I'm going to go over here. So I already knew I was in the wrong crowd. She was an elderly, white-haired woman that just wanted to, I don't even know if she was wanting to turn somebody in or just get an opinion or whatever. I just like, you know, obviously I just nice and no, I'm not law enforcement. I'm over here. And heck, I was probably Chinese-eyed myself. So, you know, I just, you know, whatever. So this is, I'm looking forward to the atmosphere and maybe less politics. And it kind of getting less, but I mean, they still have somebody will come up and I just don't care, you know, and it's a cultural thing. And you could see it with the young kids, the tool bus, the unschool bus, you know, the juice caboose, you know, they're starting to eat better, you know, the deep fried, heart attack food thing wasn't doing that well. I mean, you know, it's, you know, a lot, well, except for the train wreck, George's, you know, bacon wrap, but you know, the thing, but yeah, a lot
that's
of
good,
it,
though. I'm going to miss Mandrick isn't going to be there going to be serving food this year. I don't think, I don't know who's going to fill in for that.
I don't know. It's going to be tough to fill in, but that's a lot of work. I think he just like, oh man, forget that. He never gets to enjoy Porkfest. So that's what I'm going to try and do is just, you know, relax with my wife. And just have, instead of being on stage all the time, you know, or, I mean, even when I'm not on stage, you're on stage, you know, I just want to hip lock with my wife and just enjoy the weather and just relax and take a vacation and chill. Yeah. 'Cause I really enjoy going. I just hate flying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well, keep me informed. Let's go ahead and plan on. And even if you can't come on Friday, write down a bunch of things you want me to ask them. So I can get him to respond because, you know, specific technique geek stuff. I mean, you know, make it to where he can understand the question and I can pronounce it and read it. But, you know, but hopefully you'll be able to come on for a little while. But, you know, just go ahead and have, you know, we get a lot of answers to this stuff because I have a different perspective than a lot of people. I'm one of the older street activists. I mean, there's not a lot of us around, you know, that has, you know, stayed with it and been, you know, prominent like we are and remember the history, you know, actually lived through how it was used in politics, how web pages were done, how the BBSs were done, when we started to realize the power of the internet, how we started to format everything. We started to come up with the Freedom's Phoenix concept in 96. I mean, we already knew. We go, when there is video able to be watched on the internet, we will launch Freedom's Phoenix. In the summer 2005, YouTube hit, boom, here we go. That's what I was waiting on.
What I enjoy about your message versus, you know, the message of a lot of the younger guys is you're just, you know, you just say, I don't give a damn what anybody else is doing. I'm just going to find solutions that work for my life, and I'm just going to do it myself, you know. Where a lot of the younger keen guys who I have a lot of respect for, but they're still kind of concerned with what other people are doing and thinking, you know, and you're just like, who gives a damn? You know,
because I see the power of that.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, Derek. You know, this is, You know, how would you get a free society? Well, first you got to have a market for it, like people want it. You know, I spent 15 years just trying to convince people there even was a problem. Okay, so then once you go, yeah, this is not, there's a problem. Well, then what's the solution? I don't know. That's an individual thing. See, this is what the reason I would run for office, which I, you know, did a lot, and I go up there, and really because you needed to, because there wasn't any other media outlet. I mean, that was just like, you know, oh, what's the crazy libertarian going to say? Well, at least they, you know, let me say it, you know, especially if you didn't say stupid stuff and they just play that. I go, statement one, statement two, statement three, turn off the mic, step to the side. Well, we want to ask follow up and get you to say something stupid. I know. I'm just not helping you, you know, so don't run anything. I don't give a shit, you know. So we go in the forums. They couldn't edit that stuff live out. So, you know, when you're doing television, different things, what happened is I would go, look, it is the nature of what we're looking, the freedom that we are not dependent on the system. That means, you know, you make your own cosmetics. I mean, just a itty bitty little things. You know, you make a little bit of power, get a little solar thing, just to, you know, do one room, run your bathroom off, you know, then do your studio or do your, you know, your RV. I mean, something, you know, to where you're generating, just, you know, take a little bitty step. Oh, you grow a little bit. Oh, you learn how to. And if I'd known chickens were that freaking easy, I would have got them first thing. So then, you know, so that kind of stuff. When you do it, now I'm seeing to where, went to the Prepper Fest, one of the activists here has, he's a painter by profession, and he used to be a rainbow people guy. You know, him and his wife, they were young, and they just go around camping and RVing and National Forest stuff, start having kids, and they're like, you know, damn it, man, we're going to do that white picket fence thing. So they go ahead, and they start having children, and they're going in a small, you know, home in East Valley, and they started raising their own quail and rabbits. Well, they're Japanese quail, and they, from the time they hatch to they start laying eggs, 6 to 8 weeks. I go, holy crap. Well, now they grow so fast, he's selling the cages for them, because with the cages, you can grow 300 pounds of meat a month. Wow. And it just takes a 3 square foot area. You know, it's like 6 foot high and a 3 square feet, you know, so a 9 foot, whatever, it's small, okay? It's like a refrigerator. And it sits in on your back patio refrigerator, 300 pounds. And he's got more demand for his product than he can produce. Yeah. And I'm going, this is the future. That. Yeah. You know, and then you got medical.
You've
got
to have stuff like that to show people to say, why would you go to some centralized solution? Why would you go ask permission when you can do it this way for free without permission? And it's better, and you have control over it, and blah, 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 right?
Yeah, exactly. That's Tim Fry from Robertson Robertson, Pensacola. About every 3 months, they're doing hundreds of birds. You know, he goes, it's not like it's, you know, I'm so worried about it's cheaper or not. It's just better. I'm healthier. It's, you know, I know what goes in it. You know, so a lot of the investment that people are doing, like the reason we did the big motivation for the aquaponics is that I spend so much money on the juicing, you know, with the organic product and everything, it saves me a boatload of money to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm just, these little, that is the revolution. See, everybody thinks that, like, they need sanction or they want Hannity to say, oh, okay, well, I guess it's a revolution. I guess we're free now or something. And I go give a shit what these guys think.
I know so many people around here that are really active and really trying to promote their rights and to get the government to leave you alone. And they want to go to the government and ask them to agree with them, you know, to go up to the town council and beg them to say, yes, you're right. You know, when you can just do it, you know, there's a guy at the end of the road here that has a junkyard that I ran for town council with, actually. And they're always trying to shut him down because it's a college town and he's got a junkyard and the junkyard's been there 50 years, but the town doesn't like it. And he owns a nice hill and they'd love to see a big development up there. And
you know what he should do?
Going up to government and railing it, saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this. And here's why, you know, but he's looking for affirmation from the government.
Well, one, that's the wrong place to look. And two, if it's a little college town, he's got, you know, a junkyard. This is one thing that I think would be an awesome idea. And it's already doing here. They do what they call tech workshops here on Saturdays. And they'll build some whatever the heck, you know, aquaponic this, battery that, you know, core crushing, fuel making, pulp wood, squeeze out water, 2x4, whatever the hell. They're always doing something here on Saturday. And if he was to create, he's got the space there and he's got a junkyard, a hacker space.
Yeah.
Do you ever hear of Hacker Spaces?
Yeah, I'm an organizer of the main hacker club here in Bangor.
Well, have him do a little mechanical kind of freaking whatever, and all of a sudden then all the youth and everybody start to see the junkyard as a resource and another freedom outlet and another, you know, we're hacking our way to freedom kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Have a contest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he's been pretty supportive of the Hacker Club, too. He gave us a vehicle that we'll probably be rolling out to Porkfest.
Awesome!
Technology inside and all kinds of fun radios and surveillance equipment and stuff. So.
You know, there is so much. I'm really excited. That's why on Freedom's Phoenix, I emphasize a lot of the base research and technology. You know, people are like, why do you do? I'm going, God, man, you guys don't get it. This is where the freedom's going to come from.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
where it has come from. I mean, our ability to communicate like this. I mean, what would this have taken? You know, we would have been paying $2 a minute for a phone call, mm-hmm. right? 20 years ago. So, yeah, the ability for creative people to get together and collaborate is just amazing. It's only happened recently.
I tell you what's holding me up now is the nickel iron nanotube battery thing.
I'm pretty excited about that, too. I haven't been able to look into too much to what you're doing with that. But
are you at a computer right now?
I am, yeah.
Go nickel iron nanotube, and there's a Stanford University article or something that'll come up. When I first looked, that article came up 2 days before I first looked. And then when I started doing research on what they were doing and how an enormous energy density, because I knew to look for that, because I'm going, it's a surface area thing. You know, it's just conductive. It's superconductive. You can plate it. I understood in my head what was going on right away. And when I looked up, there it was. And then I started doing research on it and finding out, oh, well, it's a DARPA .mil university kind of, you know, space race. We'll let you have, you know, our fifth decade of shuttle bullshit, you know? And I go, no, 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 no. You see the article?
Yeah, yeah, I'm reading it now. Yeah,
see my point.
Yeah, I'm into I do the private drone thing too. So
awesome!
Tricopter project. Hopefully, kind of bringing. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, but the whole idea is to bring drone technology to the masses. You know, like a tricopter for the masses, kind of thing. And one of the biggest issues with flying these has been the battery capacity. You know, once I throw a GoPro camera on there and some recording and transmitting equipment, you know, I'm only getting 15 minutes of fly time.
Well, you know what the deal is that I never really went for this to be light. You know, that was not my goal. It was to be, you know, quick charging, quick discharging, have energy density, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's a side effect of the way it's designed that it's not going to be that heavy. But now, because I did the amp hour test, God, 3 months after I started. A year ago, November, I already had tested battery. I mean, I already know it works. So the thing is that my big holdup right now, is the 3D printing of the battery casing to match the ceramic elements that I have in the battery. So I go, okay, I go to the Consumer Electronics Show, and I get access to this, you know, really cool ceramic. You know, if you look at the end of this archive, I'm gonna put this on video. Let me do this. It's this ceramic right here. It looks like a ceramic.
I'm trying to find the video again now.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm not getting video.
No. When you look at the archive or something, you can go there. This is for the people listening. Okay. Now, this is a ceramic. It looks like a slide, you know, just like it was a microscope slide, okay? Except it's white and it's very dense, you know, ceramic. This is what I need to, you know, because I have a tube furnace that's only 2 inches, so I can't do big industrial kind of, you know, supersize me. And so I found this. I'm like, ooh, they have the elements that I needed. So now I got to build the actual casing for it. So I get the 3D printer. Charles Pax from New Hampshire there, he shipped his 3D printer here for us because he was coming to Freedom Summit, and then he got weathered out and whatever, but he left. He said, just keep it a few months and play with it. Well, there's another 3D printer that we had already ordered that one of the guys that does the tech shop here, he's playing with. So between these two, and I did the blue tea, whatever the heck it is, plastic that it has, and it dissolves in the potassium hydroxide base electrolyte for the nickel iron battery. So I can't use that, but I think it does ABS or some of the black, you know, PVC kind of stuff. And I go, okay, so I tested all different kinds of plastics, and that will work, and the base won't dissolve it. So I go, okay, all right, cool. So we got you know, the material to use. Now, my big holdup, this is the number one holdup, is me learning CAD and getting the software. The software that he says I need is like $6,000. So I got that.
Well, I use Tinkercad, which is like free online for all the stuff that I do.
Send me the link, will you please?
Yeah, just
because he was saying, well, if you don't have qualms about pirating, you can get this one. This is like the crap, and you know, blah blah blah. So I'm like, okay. Then I have Adobe. I got the Creative Suite, and now with the upgrade, I might pay, you know, nothing. But I think Adobe's now going to a monthly, you know, charge of, I don't want to play that game, you know, but, which is another thing. The internet's going to get to where it's all Linux based, you know, bite me free. I got it and it's over here and suck it, you know? So, but I have to select one when I get more time, and it looks like I may have some time open up after never. But anyway, like the end of April, maybe. But when that happens, I'm going to be a CAD learn some bitch. You know, my son knows how to do it. And I can design the cell, and I can start creating the battery. And I will make a 12-volt size battery that will give me at, it goes 1.3 volts per cell. So that gives me, I need to have probably 8 cells, and I can replace a 12-volt battery, and then I can start testing and do a direct apple-to-apple comparison on amp hours. And I'm going, but one of the big benefits of the nickel iron is that you can discharge it all the way down and up and all the way down and up, and not sulfate up like a lead acid. Because a lead acid, if I got a 1,000-amp-hour battery bank for my house, I have to, you know, to get 500 amp hours out of it, I got to buy 1,000 amp hour batteries. But on the lead acid, I only have to buy the 500 because I can discharge it all the way down and back up without damage.
Yeah, the maintenance on existing batteries is horrible. And I use LiPo batteries, and LiPo batteries are dangerous when you discharge them or overcharge them.
The what batteries?
LiPo, lithium polymer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a high.
So that's what you're using for your drone?
Yeah, for the drones, yes. These nanotube batteries might not apply to the drones, but yeah, having a place to store energy is...
Well, it may. See, there's another thing. There was a Consumer Electronics Show. They had flexible, wearable jewelry kind of zinc oxide kind of made whatever batteries. And all of these different, they have this one that's in liquid form that is just different densities of material, and the insulation between the anode and the cathode is just a oil that kind of goes at different, you know, blah blah blah, like all kinds of different stuff that doesn't apply when you're not home. I mean, when you're out doing like drone stuff. So I'm going, okay, so any of these are benefited by just mixing in carbon nanotubes, because I think the single wall nanotube is the one that I want to get better, and I'm trying to dial it in for that. But I'm, you know, I think I'm making the multi wall nanotubes like a bastard. Well, Tesla is using that to make instant capacitors. You know, you can do a super ultra capacitor batteries, and that's one I've been screaming about for a decade too. I'm going, how come this? What the hell? You know, Texas Instrument, you know, developed this stuff like 10 years ago that I remember, and it just kind of, it's always anything that would free humanity, it gets sucked up into the vacuum hole of DARPA, you know? So when I could see what they were doing, the carbon nanotubes, that's why I went into the barn with this, because what were they going to do? Exactly the same thing they did with the space race, 70s space shuttle, 80s space shuttle, 90s space shuttle, 2000 space shuttle, 2010 space shuttle. I'm going, oh yeah, there's innovation for you. You know, screw you guys, I don't trust your shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I did this, was just to show dipshit little Ernie doesn't know squat can make. There, I made a working bat, yeah. Done. And this is the amp hour, yeah. I get done.
Practical application, yeah, that's what sells. You know, you could read the white papers all day from the scientists, but until somebody's actually done it in their basement or backyard, man, nobody's going to believe it. You know?
Well, see, my thing was just the inspiration. Oh, Ernie, when are you going to start? Everybody's on my ass to make them. Like, it wasn't about me making them. It was about encouraging you that I'm a dipshit. I can make them. You go make them, you know?
So I'm going. Have you got an article or something up about this project, the nanotube project?
Yeah, we've covered it, you know, progressively on Freedom's Phoenix in the magazine. So subscribers get it. If you go to, I tell you what, go to Freedom's Phoenix. I'll show you where to get a lot of the research. I haven't added a lot to it, but you go to freedomsphoenix.com and then. You go to where it says archives by the red, where it says, let me get to it. You know, it says magazine, radio, TV. You see where it says that?
Archives.
When you go to archives, I think it's the second one, and it says contents listed by subject. John,
I knew you were working on the dome, but I didn't really know much about it until you did your presentation last summer at Porkfest.
Oh, it's way past that. Yeah, go to Ernest Hancock Instagram, and you'll see some of the later pictures. See, I just haven't made a big deal out of it because I'm busy, man. Shit, I got other stuff to do.
Yeah, I have the same problem. You know, I have spent all my time working on something. I don't have enough time to write about it, you know.
Now, if you look at the, when you go to the battery project and you start and you go back to the early, let's see how many pages, there's four pages, and you go back to the, you know, top page should be page one. Let's see if it does, page one. And you go back to the beginning and you scroll to the bottom, that was the first articles that I started posting on my research on the battery project. And it starts off with the Stanford thing. You start looking at carbon fiber, what's nanotubes, nickel iron batteries. I start doing some chemistry. Where do I get some of the, you know, the material to make the battery casing? Where do I get the equipment? Where do I get the, I mean, you know, I got tube furnaces, rectifiers, you know, a stock of blah, 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 blah. And I walk everybody through me building the lab.
Yeah, I'm really interested in this.
Well,
here
it is.
I'm kind of curious about what you need for cases, because I've done some, you know, design for other things. So
a 12-volt battery.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing is that, you know, when I have this is my limitation. Let me see which pages. I'll show you what I got. So the elements of the battery itself, I'm limited, you know, to how big I can make them, but I can make a bunch of little ones. You know, okay, yeah. It's on page three.
I'm on page three.
Top. Okay, scroll down.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Okay, now click on read full story. Now, that Popular Science cover you see there was done by Norman Rockwell in October 1920. And it was all about getting to your workbench, and that's a perpetual motion machine that he has there.
Yeah.
So the point that I was making was get to your freaking bench. Now, you'll see the gas tanks. One's argon, one's helium, one's acetylene. It goes into, on the right above it, that little green dials. Those are oxygen flow meters. That's what I use to control the flow, you know? So, I mean, I could get a 12,000 digital flow meter, but that's like 12,000. I can turn dials for $12,000, okay? So then I have the distiller apparatus there is for me to distill, you know, get my catalyst done. There's the tube furnace. There's one of the formulas. It's not even the formula I use that was on the internet. Well, the guy's doing whatever. It's probably bullshit. So I put that up there. Then the glassware. And then the bottom left, that's a plating tank along with a rectifier. That this is my lab. The only thing that's there that I don't have is that robot yellow arm. I'll be getting that later. But
that's nice. Yeah, I have one of those.
Oh, you scumbag. Okay. Yeah. So in her left hand, she's holding in front of her nanotubes. And then the green up there, that's what the kind of the nickel solution looks like. And it's kind of like a Superman crystal or whatever, you know. So this is my lab. It's really way more complex than that. And if you're a subscriber, I think in this edition I show my lab. Let me see. Supporting camera. Original discovery. Yeah, publisher's back page, original discovery. Let me see if I can log in. Are you a subscriber to the magazine?
I guess I should be, though.
Yeah. If you want to see all the goodies.
I'll bookmark this. I'll subscribe and read that.
Well, there's other editions and articles I've done. See, I don't do a lot of it because, you know, I really want to get the casing done first. Yeah. You know, when I do that, then I'm, you know, then we can kick ass. You know, I'm going, yeah.
So what's the printer you're using?
Well, there's a MakerBot and then a Scoodle something.
Okay, yeah, I don't know the second one. Yeah, the first one's pretty popular. Seems to work pretty well.
Yeah, it does do what I want to do, but we bought another one. I had the guys doing the CAD system and learning how to do it. You know, I said, look, you guys get where you're proficient at, you can make whatever, and then let me know. When you're got it all, and show me, because I don't got time to spend, you know, the 40 hours it takes to get over the learning curve on doing that crap. I just don't have time. You know, so they're working.
I'll send you the link to Tinkerbot. Tinkerbot's pretty easy, but it's still time consuming. I get wrapped up in it and days go by, you know, trying to make some perfect little thing.
Well, I just need, because the elements change. You know, if I find a great material that is, but it has to be no more than 2 inches wide and it can be like a foot long, So, you know, I could, it depends on the material that I'm using determines the casing development. So I, once I learn how to do that, then I'm able to, you know, I could do it. You know?
Once you get something basic designed, you can modify it pretty quickly too.
Right. So. Okay, now let me look at this article and see if this has some of the pictures. I'm talking about it. There's my thing. Yeah, yeah. It shows some pictures. Okay, yeah. So this is early on when I first built the lab. You know, now I wish it was as pretty, but, you know, because it's like, I'm working, man. You know, people come by and they see what I was doing. Yeah. Subscribe and you go see that article, you'll kind of get an idea. And then there's other stuff, you know, subsequent to this. But the big thing is they're so freaked out about the carbon nanotubes. And I go, it's really not about the nanotubes. The nanotubes just gives me a much more exponential surface area that I can plate the nickel onto. The biggest problem that I had is that I was plating the carbon nanotubes too long. I mean, it was almost like, you know, done. You know, I just want nickel items to go onto the carb, done. Because if I start plating it too much, then it becomes like a bumper. I mean, you know, you might as well just have, you know, a big chunk of nickel. You know, I need the pores. You know, I just want the atoms at the nanoscale to go into. So there's one version of the carbon. That's why I need an electron microscope. When I start looking for electron microscopes, you can't get access to them. And then I found this one girl that was working for a subcontractor, a jet propulsion laboratory in the East Valley Mesa here. She went to the hackerspace, learned how to use their machining, be able to machine and lathe her own stuff. She built her own electron microscope. And I go, you're my new best friend. So then she goes to Berlin to give a talk on it. They wouldn't let her take it with her. I start trying to contact her, and she got the message, you don't talk to Ernie or something. There are, you know, people out there, you know, 28-year-old girls making their own electron microscopes.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
You know, with plans to all the other hacker spaces, something. You know, I'm going, you sons of bitches, man. I go, the tighter they squeeze their fist, the more star systems leak between their fingers. So you can see me doing this. It's not so much me doing it, you know, to make or business or get rich or something like that. It's me doing it to inspire others that it can be done. That's the power.
And it's all inevitable. I mean, that's the same thing I keep saying about Namecoin and .bit and even Madesafe. I mean, all this stuff is inevitable because it's possible. Bitcoin. I mean, there's no taking Bitcoin. Now it exists. It will always exist now that it's been invented. You know, it's just a matter of time frame. You know, do we want to see this in our lifetime or do we want to see it, you know, 100 years from now? You know, it's going to happen. I mean, the state's going to be obsolete.
Yeah, I don't know if they see it. I mean, you could sit there and tell them and even explain it to them, but they don't think, you know, past the next election. You know, I mean,
they just don't want it to happen in this election cycle.
Right, just one more election cycle. We just got to get the one more election cycle, and they will until they can't. And they go, why do they do it and how do they do it? I go, because they can. And they'll keep doing it until they can't. And when can't they? Probably when the dollar goes. And that's like an inevitability, you know, that be a coming. So I'm just going.
They're just propping that up as long as they can, too. If we can just get one more, if we can just make, you know, a couple trillion more of these things, and for one more year.